Fishing with a net. Doesn't that sound better than fishing with a pole? Today's guest has expanded businesses across the country. He's an absolute guru when it comes to scale and growth. And today we get his mind and his expertise in helping us to do that for your real estate business. Stay with us, folks. It's going to be a great episode. So the big question is this. How do those of us in the real estate industry with crazy amounts of ambition, how do we think bigger than the building of our own empires? How do we simultaneously seek success and significance, income and impact? My name is Justin Stoddard, and this is the Think Bigger Real Estate Show. All right, welcome back. Oh, look at that. We were trying to go twice. Welcome back, everybody. Excited to be with you today. I have with me someone who is a personal friend. He's also an absolute guru when it comes to business. A quick background on today's guest, and then I'll introduce his full name. But he has raised over $325 million in capital, had six business exits. If you don't know what that means, it means that he has got a business up to the point to where it could sell. So if you are interested in actually growing a business that grows and scales, I don't know anybody personally that can teach us how to do this better than my friend, Tim Kalise. Tim, thanks for coming on the show today.
I really appreciate it, Justin. Thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. Let's talk to us briefly about your background, kind of what you did. That will create some context before we get into the topic of, again, how to fish with a net, which again, sounds way better than with a pole.
Oh, sounds great. So I have a varied background, and I look at kind of things through seasons. And so I started my career out of college. I raised $325 million for a hedge fund that I was a growth partner in. And then I moved to a tech-enabled business in fitness. So we basically took a personal trainer and replaced it with technology. I then moved into the consulting and coaching space. I was on the executive team with Alex and Layla Hormozi over at Gym Launch. And in there, I also built one of our products, one of our sister products, Allen, and that business had an exit in 2021. And now I work with service-based businesses, primarily that have a recurring revenue component, but are looking to add $100,000 or more in top-line revenue while taking distributions along the way and preparing that business to potentially be a saleable enterprise. So that's me a little bit in a nutshell. And I think one of my superpowers, if you will, is just that I've got a lot of experience and a bunch of different things. And I bring that to bear with the coaching clients that I have. And really excited to be here.
Man, from a business standpoint, that's a sexy introduction. I'll tell you, Tim, you ought to be very proud of what you've accomplished. I don't know how old you are. You look pretty young to have that kind of resume. And just the people that you've worked closely with are absolute, again, icons in any industry, and pretty impressive. So excited and really honored that you would come on and pour into us here in the Think Bigger Real Estate Show. I know you and I had a conversation about, you know, the book that I authored, The Upstream Model, and you're like, yeah, that's what I teach. So let's kick off this concept, which is really fishing with a net, right?
Yeah.
So talk us through kind of how, like what that means to you to fish with a net, and which it coincides with going upstream, and maybe how that's impacted the businesses that you have served and will serve moving forward.
Yeah. And I think in line with your introduction, I really appreciate that. I think one of the most important things is I founded my own business. And I think when you are a founder and one without infinite resources, you have to be creative and you have to get the most out of every opportunity that you have. And so fishing with a net for me is looking at what relationships can we develop that are kind of once you set them up, and as long as you foster them appropriately, they can continue to pay dividends over the course of time. And I think the reason I've gotten to where I am is because I have always been relationship driven and relationship based. And so even back in the hedge fund world, it was, you know, I was looking for investors. And so who could I, you know, being a good steward of capital, we would go out and look for, you know, CPAs, attorneys, anyone that I could get to know and say, you know what, you don't have to worry about referring a client to us. And once we set those relationships up, they continue to pay dividends, over the course of time. And so as I stand right now, I went through kind of the fitness world as well. So we set up relationships and joint ventures and partnerships with a number of hospital chains and physical therapy solutions, you know, things, places where our core client lives. And I think that's good for any business, which is if you can find and narrow in on your core client and your core avatar, and you solve a problem for them, go out and find the people that have those people, you know, already in their database or in their umbrella. And it's, and I think, Justin, I think you and I connected on kind of the authenticity of the service, right? Yeah. So if we feel good about what we do, we should be able to set those relationships and feel, you know, relationships up and feel really good about them.
You know, I couldn't have said it better myself. It's almost as if you authored the book, Tim. Like, I almost feel like I plagiarized your ideas.
No.
But I
followed your lead. So,
you know, the concept that for everybody here that's listening to this, where you're contemplating, okay, how does this apply to real estate, right? If you've already read the book, The Upstream Model, you know. If you haven't, let me just give you a little brief insight, is that most everybody that I know would prefer a warm referral over a cold lead. Like working with friends, working with people that already know you, trust you, like you, is way easier and way better, right? We all agree with that. The only challenge why people will actually go and start pursuing cold is because they run out of warm. Right? There's no other reason to do it other than that. And the problem is, like, how do I do that? Because I get limited by the number of relationships that I have, right? And it takes so much time to go build new relationships. I don't want to spend all this time away from the people that I love most in life. And so I get stuck. And what you just described there, Tim, is exactly, you know, what I believe in wholeheartedly, is that there are other professionals in the marketplace who already have the relationship with your ideal client. They've already established it. They've actually taken months, if not years, to build great trust with those people. Now, you can think to yourself, and they've done it on my behalf. What I mean by that is when you add enough value to that one individual, they can open the doors to all of the relationships they've already built. Guys, it's just common sense. It's so much faster where you get to stay in warm market, yet at the same time, it's scalable, right? Because their relationships are much greater than you could ever go create on your own.
Yeah, spot on. And it's funny, I was speaking to my parents recently, and they said, you know, as a kid, you always did things the hard way. And I think sometimes we are programmed to some extent that it has to be hard. But, you know, if we think about kind of the cycle that somebody goes through as far as making a buying decision, there's kind of five core components to it, starting with kind of a cold lead and ending with a hand raise saying, I'm ready to buy. And I think the referral engine and the joint venture partnership concept that we're talking about, you know, accelerates that process. And I think I don't want to lose sight of also the fact that the referring party, if I know someone that Justin can serve, and you know, Justin, you can serve, and I send them to you and they have a great experience, not only has that helped you, but it actually reflects really positively on me. And so I think the symbiotic relationship, when done right, and you know, you have to make sure you take care of those relationships, but I think it pays dividends. And you know, you set them up and you prune the tree over time. But that it's the foundation of a really safe, you know, kind of scalable business. And the folks that I work with are trying to provide, you know, set up a business that can ultimately potentially sell one day. And one of the main risks is, what's your acquisition strategy? Right. So imagine if they came to your business and it was, you know, sometimes we run some Facebook ads and when things start to dry up, I go and try to figure out another way and see what everybody else is doing. Or they come to you and you say, I have 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 partnerships that I've already established. And I, you know, this is how I take care of them. I mean, imagine it's, and in my world, it's like, what's the value of that business? The business, you know, you look at what's called a multiple. So you take effectively either revenue or profits and multiply by a number. And the less risk or perceived risk there is, the higher the multiple you're going to get. So I think this is like long-term thinking with some short-term gains, if you think of it that way. It's truly a win-win in my world.
You know, it's really interesting when you put it that way. And some on this call are probably, their wheels are turning. They're like, I had no idea that I could scale a referral-based real estate business. And they're thinking to themselves, you know what? I always thought that I had to like essentially recruit a big sales team, give, you know, a large percentage of every deal I make to a, you know, to an organization like Zillow. And I'm hiring a bunch of people to pursue leads all day long, right? And that model works. Don't get me wrong. There are people here that have built beautiful businesses on that model. But I guarantee that there's somebody that's going to hear this today that's going to be like, wow, what if I were to be able to build a similar model, but instead of by buying leads, it's by creating strategic upstream partnerships, right? Now we're coming into a different market. This could be with like REO type properties, right? Like sure. Bankruptcy attorneys. Like there's some things to be watching on the horizon right now where not everybody has put aside 6 to 12 months of living expenses and business expenses. There's going to be some opportunities, unfortunately, for some, there's some opportunities for people to step in and help large amounts of people. And my question to you, for those that are listening and are having that internal dialogue right now, is are you positioned right now to be able to have one key relationship that opens up the door to potentially thousands of transactions? Guys, this is exactly case in point, one application of the upstream model. I love that you shared that, Tim.
Yeah, spot on. And the part that I didn't share about my experience when I ran my hedge fund or was a partner there was we actually shut that fund down in 2007. In advance of what we saw to be a shifting market climate. So I know personally what it's like to go through that. And you know, probably everybody that's listening to this has heard the phrase, you know, you dig your well before you're thirsty. Mm-hmm. And I would say, if you're listening to this, you've got a huge, and following Justin, you know, you've got a strategic advantage because the market is shifting. It's already started. And there will be a lot of opportunity over the next 6, 12, 24 months for those to take action now. And it starts with one. Start with one opportunity, one relationship, someone in your network, and then build from there.
You know, I want to take just a minute. This is a little bit of self-promotion, but I know that there's some people that are looking for some help right now. I'm going to put up here on the screen below. There's a Facebook group called Successful Real Estate Agents. I created the group. In there, we talk about scaling warm market business. We talk about the principles that Tim's teaching us here today. And so if you're not yet a member of that group, get in the group. Interact with me, ask Justin, how can you help me build this upstream stuff? And we'll just have a friendly dialogue about it. So in case you're not already in there, please do so. Again, that's just a free group for anybody that's not in there yet and not fully engaging. We're giving away just gems of gold to help you create these kind of relationships. All right, Tim, let's move into our next topic here, which is really as you're looking to scale businesses, right? And you're looking to scale, there's certain metrics that you're looking at, right? There's certain things that are essential. And I would love to hear kind of your thoughts around what you help business owners to focus on, because there's so much, right?
Sure.
And amidst all the distraction, they might miss those metrics that are most important. Talk to us a little bit about what we should be focusing on.
Sure. So the two things that I hear most commonly are how do I stand out in my market? And the second is some version of, I want to make more money. And the solution to both of those, and I love when one change can affect multiple things. You know, we work in three primary areas. It's positioning, it's product, and it's price. And the reason why I focus on those is because the positioning piece is where I work with a concept called like the and this is other folks I've learned this from a mentor of ours is that Justin knows as well, Shravan Travatsa. What is your only statement? Or I am the only person who, and I think in every market there is something that you are uniquely gifted in or positioned to take advantage of, and the more clear you can be about the problem that you solve, it then leads into what product can you put together to solve that problem. And if you have a very clear product, spec'd for a very clear avatar, you can demand a premium price. And so I work in those three levers to say, you know, if you're not standing out, well, what is it that the customer or the client wants that they're not currently getting? Or do we need to go more niche? Is it because we go from real estate agents in general to, you know, folks that are between, you know, 35 and 45 and are relocating and have kids? Because I'm a dad, I have three kids. I know the pains of what that means. Whereas a 22-year-old agent may not feel the same way. So we work in those with those levers. And the metrics. Yeah, go ahead.
So problem solved. That was number one. Yep. Like, what problem do you solve? What's the product that solves it? And then what's your price to do it? I love it, guys. The three P's, super simple, Great stuff, Tim.
Yeah, we try to simplify everything because I think our nature is to be to make things more complicated. And that's usually because we're trying to solve multiple problems for multiple people. So it's better to hit the same nail, solve the same problem 100 times, the single problem 100 times, than trying to solve 100 problems one time. Because yeah. That's where our efficiency comes in and systems and things along those lines. So we look at what's the cost to acquire a new customer, a new client. And with the upstream model and with partnerships, we can actually reduce that hard cost, if you will. And then how quickly do we get our customer acquisition cost? How quickly can we recoup that? Because every business, I think, no matter how small or large you are, capital efficiency is key. So if I can spend $10 to acquire a client and the daily, and as soon as possible recoup $20, I can continue to reinvest in that business effectively forever. And then the last part is kind of pricing as it relates to margins. So we want to make more money. Most people want to have more take home. And so we look at that as a single metric as well.
For those that are listening right now, I want you to know that at the end of this episode, we're going to share a link that you can go to actually download like a summary sheet that Tim has prepared for us. It really helps us to understand these. So in fact, I'll just put it out there right now. It's timcalise.com, timcalise.com/thinkbigger. He created it just for us. It's an opportunity for you to really take these principles and evaluate your own business and really see kind of the genius behind who Tim is and what he does. And again, apply it to your business. So great stuff, Tim. Yeah. What other measures, are there any other metrics that we might have missed that people should be looking at? Or does that cover?
Yeah, I think there's one more that I wanted to mention. And it's a small change, but I think it's important for everyone to recognize, which is, as we're thinking about these partnerships, a lot of people that I work with, a lot of my clients, when I ask about this area of their business, they will give me the average number of leads that they get from a partner, or average. They use the word average. And I would change that to be, this kind of goes back to grade school, but if you remember, there was mean, which is the average, median, and mode way, way, way back when in school. Look at the median. And the median is important, because what I have found is when we create partnerships, a lot of times there is a skew, there's a concentration of where maybe one partner, they're not all created equal. So which one is actually driving the most opportunities? And when I say we have to prune the tree, I would look at, let's just say you have 10 partners, look at each one individually and find the middle, because that's what will actually tell you the quality of your partnership program. So if you have 10 partners and the top one is producing 90% of your opportunities, then you need to look at, well, what is it about that partner? Was it the first one you brought in? Were they onboarded differently? Were they positioned differently? Are they in a certain industry? Because I think it's really telling, because again, and then you can cut the ones that aren't producing. And that's about expectations, because how someone enters your world is how long they will stay in your world. And I think it's really important to pay attention to that. So, and that's applicable to probably anyone in your audience.
Now, I think I oftentimes will debunk the myth that if we do what we've always done, we'll get what we've always gotten. It's not true. Yep. In an absolute stagnant world where nothing is changing, that would be true. Yep. But I think we would all agree that we're in a very dynamic world, and doing what you've always done will get you less and less and less. You actually have to do, not necessarily more, but you need to do better. And I think what you've given us here, Tim, is a tool chest to be able to say, okay, let me evaluate. Are the things that I was doing in 2019, are they still working as good now in 2022? You may realize they're not. And I need to prune that tree. And we all know that when you prune a tree, it looks bad at first. You're like, dang, I had to cut this, I had to cut that. A little bit painful, but afterwards, that's where it produces the most fruit. And I think oftentimes entrepreneurs, we get so hung up on trying to do so much that we don't take time and maybe bake that into our calendar to say, let's evaluate maybe on a monthly or quarterly basis and say what's working, what's not. And let's cut the stuff that's not. These are not our children that we're cutting. You can get rid of stuff. It's okay, right? Just because it worked previously doesn't mean it's going to work in today's market. So have an objective view and say, you know what? That's not working. Let's double down on the stuff that is. And Tim, that insight is great for any of us that are really looking at building a business, right? That grows and that could potentially someday sell, or we could turn it over to somebody else. There's actual value there. There's actually, we actually have a process through which we're constantly improving.
Just awesome. Spot on. Spot on.
Tim, I want to kind of end with this question. Again, let me put in the chat, everybody, in case you didn't get that. Hopefully you've realized kind of the genius behind Tim Kalis here. I feel, again, super fortunate to have him as a friend, and grateful that he is willing to come on and teach us. But again, it's timkalis.com/thinkbigger. Go there and you'll get his resource, something that you definitely want to have in your world. So I'm going to put that will show up in your timeline. If by chance you don't get it, if you're listening to this as a podcast later and you miss that, just message me, DM me, wherever you can find me, and we'll be sure that we get you the resource. Tim, I want to ask you this final question. You are somebody who is a big thinker, right? You surround yourself with big thinkers. You are a big thinker yourself. You help other people to think bigger. What is it that you do on a regular basis to continue to expand your possibilities, to continue to grow? What does it look like for you?
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of mentors and coaches. I am one myself, but yeah. So I'm a dad of three, and so for me it was, and I love the phrase reverse engineering, because I think in so many ways, you know, we can be, you know, kind of have our heads down and be looking at our feet and kind of take one step at a time, but we don't always end up at the destination that we're looking for, and so setting intentionally where I want to go. And I, some of this is just around beliefs. I had the great fortune to work with Alex Hormozy, who's a great business coach. And, you know, I also through that relationship was exposed to someone who, is in the service business. That was primarily in wellness and coaching, who does over $50 million a year in revenue and currently works 2 days a week for 3 hours a day. And if I go back to my younger self, I absolutely felt like there were a certain set of rules of the game that I had to follow. And the longer I've been doing this, I've realized two things. One, anything is possible if you set a very conscious, if you have a conscious thought pattern to say, this is what I want to build, chances are you're going to build it. And the second is the value of time and compounding. So there's that old phrase, we, you know, kind of overestimate what we'll do in a day, but underestimate what we'll do in 5 years. I would challenge anyone to say, you know, how do I build momentum? What can I do today that I can stack again tomorrow and the next day and the next day? And relationships and partnerships are part of that. And the clearer you can define where you want to go, the easier and more dynamic people will fall behind you, because they know where you're going and they know how to help you. So for anyone out there, don't be afraid of dreaming big. You know, we think of big goal. And I think through Justin, your podcast and what I've seen put out there, you fill in the plan that allows people to get there. So, you know, I really appreciate you having me as a guest. And I'm excited to continue to hopefully deliver value for you and your audience.
Yeah. Great stuff, Tim. Boy, that was a mini course right there on how to expand your life in a very beautiful way. So congrats on being a great dad and for being a great leader in our industry. Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to have you on. And for everybody listening here today, you know what my final request is. It is these three simple words, and they are go think bigger. Tim, thanks for helping us do that today, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Justin. Appreciate it.
If you enjoyed this episode, then I have a very special invitation for you. I have created a private Facebook community called Successful Real Estate Agents, where the focus is going beyond success, having both a successful business and a significant life. If you're not yet a member, go sign up now.